This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium here on patriots.com. Just heard the Patriots outlast the Denver Broncos 31-21, but it did come down to the wire a bit. You know, Patriots were up 31-7. Seemed like you could take your foot off the accelerator a little bit against Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. They didn't go away, but the Patriots defense comes up with a huge turnover at the end of the game, and the Patriots offense for the second straight week with the Tom Brady and Wes Welker connection able to hold on to the football, run out the clock. As the Patriots get back above 500, they move to 3-2. They beat the Denver Broncos, who dropped to 2-3, by 10 points today in Foxborough. By the way, new quarterback for the Broncos, but essentially the same old story. The Patriots able to run up tons of yards, tons of points against this Broncos defense. Remember, they beat Denver 41-23 in December in Denver, and then in the playoffs, the divisional round here in Foxborough, a 45-10 win. So that Patriots offense certainly seems to have this Broncos defense figured out. And I don't know, how'd you feel about that Patriots defense today? How do you feel about the balance that we've been seeing out of the Patriots offense? We'll get into all of that. Your phone calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Before we get there, let's do what we do each and every postgame show: the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
I think the obvious place to start is with the Patriots running game just absolutely manhandling the Denver Broncos. Patriots offense goes for 200-plus rushing yards for the second straight week for the first time since 1978. Patriots, 251 yards on the ground against Denver. They had 247 last week against the Buffalo Bills. They were led by Stephen Ridley, 28 carries, 151 yards, and a touchdown. He's the first Patriots running back to have back-to-back 100-yard games since Lawrence Maroney did it in 2007. However, the question with Stephen Ridley is ball security. And we saw a costly fumble, or a potentially costly fumble, from Ridley there towards the end of the game as the Broncos got the football back, down 10 points, but the Patriots defense and Rob Ninkovich able to force a fumble as well, which we'll get to momentarily. I also thought Wes Welker was immense in this game. 13 catches, 104 yards, 9 of those catches came in the first half, 5 of them came on one drive. He had his first touchdown of the year from 8 yards out on the Patriots' second drive, perfectly led, perfectly thrown ball by Brady. And I also thought the indication of how important Welker is for this offense, you saw it on that third down play with about 3 minutes left in the game for the second straight week when the Patriots are trying to run out the clock. Brady's looking for Welker, and I think that underscores his importance. And obviously, Rob Ninkovich, to me, had a huge game. Even before that second force fumble, which really sealed the game, with the Broncos driving, he was able to strip Willis McGahee, who really was losing the football anyway. But 2 forced fumbles in this one for Rob Ninkovich. He also had a sack of Peyton Manning, which gave the Patriots a short field and set up Stephen Ridley's touchdown run from 8 yards out. So I thought Rob Ninkovich played very well on that Patriots defense. Not everyone did. As it gets to our bad list here, Patriots secondary, again, struggles in coverage. I thought Sterling Moore was the worst of the group today. And granted, he was able to force a fumble on the opening drive. When the Denver Broncos had the football, Demaryius Thomas just burned Sterling Moore for a 43-yard reception, but Moore able to recover, knock the ball out. That's about as good as it got for him. He was burned all day in the secondary. So I thought he really struggled. Also, Devin McCourty, pass interference in the end zone, just poor technique, as it was pointed out by Matt Chatham, former Patriots linebacker, now writes for the Boston Herald. Just said it was poor technique. McCourty didn't turn around and find the football. Pass interference in the end zone. And also, on that fourth down play where Peyton Manning just rifled it down the field to Demaryius Thomas, McCourty wasn't even close. So he struggled today in coverage. I also thought Ryan Wendell had a rough go of it. And the Patriots' offensive line was very good. Not so much in pass protection, though. I guess I would say they were better in the running game than they were in pass protection. Wendell, you know, through my layman eye, was responsible for a couple of sacks in this one. He was also the blocker who allowed Brandon Bolden to really get blown up on a four-yard loss earlier in the game. So I thought he struggled. Some Patriots to monitor in terms of those who were injured. Tracy White left the game with a foot injury, did not return. Devin McCourty left briefly for what everyone assumes he must have got nicked or dinged up on the kickoff, the opening kickoff of the second half. And also Sebastian Vollmer and Logan Mankins were out towards the end of the game for a drive. So that's something the Bears monitoring as well. But you would have to assume it's just the Patriots being cautious with injuries with those couple of players, especially since they've been on the injury report. But certainly something to keep an eye on for the Patriots as they beat the Denver Broncos 31-21 here in Foxborough. And again, move to 3-2, back above 500. This was a team 2 weeks ago sitting here at 1-2. And you were facing going up to Buffalo. They were down 21-7. And really, in these last six quarters, they've turned around their season. It's the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. I think the interesting player to talk about in this one, and obviously everyone's on the table, but the interesting player to talk about, I think, is Stephen Ridley. Huge game on the ground, right? For the second straight week, the Patriots running attack looked great. And last week it was him and Bolden. This week, he was the main guy on the ground. 28 carries, 151 yards, over 5 yards a pop, had a touchdown. Bolden chipped in 54 yards. Danny Wood had a couple of huge plays on third down. Won a screen pass, won a draw play. But Ridley was the guy in the backfield, and he played so well, but he had what could have been such a costly fumble at the end of the game, and he was benched after that point. Didn't come back on the field after that fumble. Brandon Bolden replaced him, and we saw Stephen Ridley struggle with ball security last year. Remember, in the postseason against these Denver Broncos, he had a fumble and didn't really play for the rest of the postseason. So how concerned are you about the ball security or lack thereof from Stephen Ridley? Because he looked great in this game up until that point. We'll take your thoughts. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. On the postgame show, you heard from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Coming up here in about 20 minutes, also Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. In a little under an hour, we'll also go around the AFC East, and hopefully we'll get one of these players on from the Patriots' victorious locker room as they beat the Broncos 31-21. Let's hit some of these phone calls here. Keith is in Dallas, and you'll get things started here on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Hey, Keith.
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
Not much, man. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, so, you know, I don't think we should be too down on Ridley just because, you know, he did run his butt off today. But, I mean, he ran a lot, and he got the ball stripped out, yes. But, I mean, he's our best running back, right? I mean, and if we're going to, like, try to bench him and, you know, put Ridley down because, you know, he couldn't hold on to the ball at the last minute, let's not forget Tom Brady also didn't hold on to the ball, which could have been costly also, right?
Look, it's a fair point. I do think it's a little different when you're talking about a quarterback and he's getting, you know, blindsided, as Brady was.
But let's not make it a double standard. I mean, what happened last week? Rob Gronkowski, Wes Welker? I don't think it's fair that they would just, like, bench Ridley.
But
he's clearly our best back in for confidence reasons, right?
It is different though when you have somebody who has, you know, struggled with ball security in the past, right? Like, I'm not sure it's a double standard. When have we seen Welker fumble in his career? And, you know,
last year though, he struggled with ball security with two fumbles last year.
Well, they benched him last year. I mean, look,
there's a lot more running backs last year.
Look,
in the league that fumbled more than just two times.
Right,
but Keith, we could have probably won a Super Bowl.
But Keith, those running backs touch the football 250, 300 times.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Ridley was a part-time player last year. Look, I don't disagree with you, Keith. I thought too much was made of the ball security last year, but regardless
of, I think we're going to make too much of it now, though.
Regardless of what I think, I'm telling you, don't listen to me. Bill Belichick benched Stephen Ridley last year. He benched him again today. So who cares what I think about Stephen Ridley's ball security? It's pretty clear that the head coach is upset with it.
Yeah, and then my second point is I just think Bill Belichick should get some of the blame for this game, like going for it on fourth down. It just seems like he always gassed himself when he plays Peyton Manning. Like, he thinks, overthinks the game and gets away from the game plan that's already working.
Well,
the defense played pretty well.
I think that's an excellent point. And, you know, they were talking about it on the broadcast, and Keith, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. You know, Nance and Sims were talking about it on the broadcast, wondering why the Patriots were going for it on fourth. And they were right. And I think Keith is onto something there. You know, it's the fifth drive of the second half. Patriots are up by more than three scores at this point. And they go for it on fourth down. So is that a case of Peyton Manning being in Belichick's head a little bit, and that's why the Patriots went for it there? In other words, would they have gone for it on fourth down, Kevin, if you're going against, you know, some other schlub quarterback and not Peyton Manning?
Here's what I question. I think it was third and five in that situation from their own 37. So you're on the plus 37, third and five. Now, in your mind, if you're Coach Belichick, if you know you're going to go for it, if you either get an incomplete pass or positive yards, why not run the ball on third down, force Denver to either use a timeout or run the 40 seconds off the play clock? Odds are you're at least going to get a yard, maybe two. The way, especially the way, as you said, Adam, the way the Patriots are running the ball today, I mean, I don't even know what their yards per carry was, but, you know, my guess is it was well over three, maybe not, maybe over four.
Their yards per carry was 4.6.
Yeah, so, you know, third and five, you do the math. Odds are you're probably going to get at least 2 yards, 3 yards. You force Denver to burn a timeout. You run the 40 seconds. And then if you're in fourth and two, fourth and one, it's just a whole – it's a different situation.
Look,
you know?
I don't want to make a huge deal out of it.
But no, I was with you. I question that.
Going for it there on fourth down, you know, almost let the Broncos back in the game, right? Like, they immediately go down and score. They only had to go 43 yards because Brady gets sacked on fourth down. There's a fumble, which the Broncos recover. So they pull within 10, then Ridley fumbles it back. Like, all of a sudden, you're looking at a one-possession game, and that sort of started it. So, look, I didn't put it on my bad list, the coaching decision. I didn't reference it until the caller brought it up, but that was weird. And I think Keith had a good point. Like, would they have done that against any other quarterback? Probably not. That probably has something to do with Peyton Manning. I think it's a good observation. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's work our way through some of these emails. Kevin writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, great win today. Even despite the fumble, Ridley was one of the main reasons the Patriots won this game. I don't disagree with that. I'll be really irritated if Belichick benches him next week. We don't bench Brady for throwing a pick, do we? Which is similar to the point the caller just made. The running game is the biggest improvement on offense this year, and quite frankly, is the only reason they're winning games. I hope the coach doesn't hurt the team to teach a lesson. That's Kevin writing in from North Carolina. I don't think it's the only reason they're winning games. Now, I think that's helped. I think it's hard to argue with the fact that the Patriots, all this incredible balance that they've had these last 2 weeks, I think it's been a major factor in their wins. But the way the Patriots pass the football, and you can tell what their confidence level is at the end of games. 2 weeks in a row when the Patriots have needed a big third down conversion, last week against the Bills, this week against Denver, Brady to Welker. And I still think that's the key. So I just wouldn't go that far, or as far as the emailer did, about the running game point. However, he's completely right about Stephen Ridley. The ball security is an issue, or at least it looks like it could be an issue. How about that? I don't want to say it is an issue, but
it's
Ridley
been an issue in the past too.
Ridley benched last year. Well, look, like I said, if people feel like the caller did, that I'm making too big of an issue of Ridley's fumbling or his lack of ball security, well, Belichick benched him last year. So again, it doesn't really matter what I think. That's what Bill Belichick thinks. That's why he benched Stephen Ridley. He benched him again at the end of today's game, which I'm fine with, right? In this game, you bench him. But the emailer's totally right. You don't bench him next week. You don't start Brandon Bolden, who's looked fine, but you don't bench Stephen Ridley.
No,
not the way he's playing. Look, if he fumbles again next week, then I'd think about it. But I don't think you put him on the pine. He looked too good in this game, 151 yards on the ground, and the second straight time he's gone over 100 yards, he is a major factor in this Patriots offense. And I hope, like the emailer does, that they're not going to bench him because of a fumble at the end of this game, as costly as it could have been. And that would have been a monumental turnover. You know, if the Broncos can capitalize and the Patriots don't force a fumble right back. So I just hope they don't bench him. I hope it doesn't come to that. But we've seen weird things like this before from Belichick. And he did it last year with Ridley. 508 888-298-0398. That's the A's ticket hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com as the Patriots beat the Denver Broncos 31-21 here in Foxborough. Tom Brady with a touchdown pass and a touchdown run. Haven't talked a ton about Brady. Thought he was surgical in this one. 23 of 31, 223, touchdown. He was under pressure. Sacked four times in this game. Coughed up a fumble when Von Miller got to him on the fourth down play we were talking about a few moments ago. But I thought Brady was excellent in this game. And honestly, for most quarterbacks, 223 yards and a score and only eight incompletions, you're looking at a game that the quarterback gets a ton of kudos. But I don't know. You hold Brady to such a high standard that those numbers for him are rather pedestrian. It's why he didn't make the good list earlier on. You can weigh in with your standout performers and also the players who were more towards the back of the pack today for the New England Patriots. I saw a few emails on Alphonso Dennard, who I thought looked right at home when he got out there. And by the way, was playing over Rasai Dowling. But I thought he looked right at home when he was out on the field. Not only playing over Rasai Dowling, at one point, he was taking away snaps from Sterling Moore, coming in that dime package. In the nickel package, coming in as that first defensive back in there with McCourty and Arrington. Couple of pass breakups in this one. I thought he looked good. And that comes on the heels of looking good at the tail end of the preseason. So, I don't know. I thought Moore had a rough, rough day today. And I didn't think he had a good preseason. There have been games where he's been exposed. I thought two weeks ago, against Baltimore. You know, we talked a ton about Arrington and McCourty on that postgame show. But Sterling Moore struggled in that one, too. So there's nothing that I've seen that Sterling Moore deserves to keep rolling out there, right? And I thought we saw a little something from Alphonso Dennard. Not saying he has to be the nickel package guy, but I thought you've seen a little bit, and maybe he can help in the secondary. I like what I saw out of him. Let's get back to the emails. Webradio@patriots.com. That's where Roman writes in. Adam, great game for the Pats. You can't score the whole game, as they did in quarter three, within 18 seconds. And you can't stop Manning for a whole game. I think the defense did a good job. And if someone's to blame, it's once again the safeties. And that's a good point. You know, I haven't talked about Chung at all, but I thought Pat Chung, again, not a standout performance, right? Like, Chung was in there on one of the touchdowns. On that 45-yard play to Demaryius Thomas, where Manning just wound up and gunned it. Everyone questioning Peyton Manning's arm strength. He had plenty of it in this one. That 45-yard pass to Demaryius Thomas down the left sideline. Way late in getting over. By the way, the corner on that play was Sterling Moore. But I thought he was way late getting over on that one. And there was a play early on in the game, too. And it was an incomplete pass. Manning just missed it. I think it was for Decker. I forget who it was intended for, but I believe it was Decker. And Manning just missed it. But Chung, or maybe it was Tammy, but Chung just completely took an awful angle on the play. So safety play has been shaky from the Patriots. But look, you know, I'm a little more concerned when the safety play looks bad against Ryan Fitzpatrick than I am against Peyton Manning. In other words, the guy on the other side is pretty good. I thought the secondary struggled to me. It was more the corners this week, more the safeties last week. That's the way I saw it. Roman continues. In total, it's a great win, and I agree with that. I hope there's not too much to talk about at the end of the game and that we should have won by a bigger margin. A win is a win. Just ask Philadelphia or Green Bay. Well, I haven't said they should have won by a bigger margin. I mean, I've dwelled on the fumble a little bit from Stephen Ridley, but I'm not disappointed in the margin. Roman continues. A player I'd like to point out is Alphonso Dennard. I don't know how many snaps he got, but when I saw him, he always had tight coverage and always had his head on the ball. This is something I miss from McCourty, Moore, and Chung. Dennard played in his first game in the NFL today, and he really gave me hope that we found a good cornerback there. It was one game, so not putting too much stock into it, but at least I get some hope. And again, that's Roman writing into Web Radio at Patriots.com. Look, I thought Dennard, when he was out there, looked pretty good. Couple of pass breakups in this one. It's the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. The Patriots beat the Denver Broncos 31-21 here in Foxborough. And scoring his second career touchdown was Patriots running back Shane Vereen. He joins us now on the A's Ticket Hotline. First of all, Shane, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
How's it feel to be back above 500 at 3-2?
Feels pretty good. I mean, this was a good team victory. We came out, we fought for a good part of 60 minutes.
How about for you personally, getting in there, able to punch it in from 1 yard out and get back into the end zone for the first time this season?
Oh, that was a huge relief. You know, it's been a tough season so far, but it was good to get back out there and help contribute to the team win.
You called it a relief, which I think is an interesting word choice. Why would you phrase it that way?
You know, just so many ups and downs. A lot of downs so far this year for me personally, and to get back out there, the one thing I wanted to do all year is to contribute to the team, and going down with my foot and then be able to come back and contribute was, you know, was big for me.
Patriots running back Shane Vereen joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Shane, just describe, if you can, the dynamic going on in that backfield right now with you and Stephen Ridley and Brandon Bolden and Danny Woodhead. It seems like right now, no matter who you guys trot out there, there's a lot of yards to be picked up on the ground. How's that dynamic working out?
You know, we take a lot of pride in that. We take a lot of pride in being a very dynamic backfield, and we feel comfortable that no matter who gets in the game, you know, they're going to be able to produce. We take a lot of pride in that, as I said earlier, and you know, and that's just one thing I think that we bring to the table, and I think that's one thing that we're going to continue to work on.
What was the atmosphere like out there today with it being Brady Manning? I mean, I know this is your second year in the league, so this was your first Brady Manning matchup. How was that for you?
It was fun. You know, it almost, you know, the crowd was so loud, the crowd was into it. It almost felt kind of like a playoff game in a way. But everybody was up, everybody was into the game, and it was a good team win.
He's Patriots running back Shane Vereen. Patriots have back-to-back games of 200 yards rushing on the ground. That's the first time they've done that since 1978. Shane, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, Patriots running back Shane Vereen joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. And look, Patriots able to pile up 31 points against Denver today in Foxborough as they improve to 3-2. And the ground attack? The main factor. It's the main reason in this one. And look, the offensive line did an excellent job opening up holes for these guys. And Vereen, along with Ridley and Bolden and Woodhead, you know, those guys ran well all afternoon. And for Shane Vereen, look, we were talking about him a little bit last week. All right, well, you know, Brandon Bolden's passed him by on the depth chart. He's already behind Woodhead, and he's already behind Ridley. So what does that say? And you know what? I just found it interesting that Belichick decided to go to him when Vereen was able to punch it out. On the Patriots' third drive of the ball game, they get down there to the one. Remember, on that play where I thought Brandon Lloyd got in the end zone, by the way, and I'm sitting there pounding my fist into the desk, rather, because I got Tom Brady on a fantasy team, right? So I'm looking for the passing touchdown, and instead it's Vereen from a 1 yard out. But look, you're talking about the Patriots being comfortable putting him in there in a goal line situation, which is a ball security situation. I'm not reading into that with Ridley at all. I just think that's showing some trust in Shane Vereen. You know, certainly not a huge line out of him in that game today, but he does get into the end zone, and Vereen is his only carry of the day. But I do think that Patriots, that stable of running backs right now, is starting to look like a productive group. The only question is ball security and Stephen Ridley, and it's something we'll continue to explore here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can give us a call, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Warren writes in to webradio@patriots.com on Devin McCourty. Time to cut him at the end of the season. He's rubbish. You know, I wouldn't go that far, but, you know, he had a rough day today. And I was defending him a little bit on the pregame show. And this was after, you know, I just pointed it out on the postgame show last week that despite McCourty's two interceptions, he was burned on the first one. This is last week against Buffalo. Burned on the first one, right? And on the second one, it was still an underthrown football. But he made the catches, which he didn't the week before against Baltimore. So as the week passed, I thought maybe I'd been a tad unfair to McCourty. But I thought he was bad today. You know, there were just some bad plays. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. Like, that pass interference in the end zone is just complete and total lack of awareness. It's not turning your head and finding the football. And, you know, I thought Matt Chatham had a great tweet about this earlier today. Again, former Patriots linebacker, works for the Boston Herald, works on some Patriots pregame radio. And, you know, was an ex-NFL player, so I would trust his judgment on that. And he had a tweet, something to the effect of, look, you know, McCourty was there. He wasn't trailing on the play. He didn't have to close the gap. He was right there, step for step, with the receiver. All you got to do is turn your head and locate the football, and he didn't do it. Poor technique. So I thought that was a bad play. And that play on fourth down to Demaryius Thomas, you know, McCourty was just locked up in man. And maybe the Patriots didn't expect Manning to take a shot way down the field. But I thought that was terrible as well. Like 28 yards to Demaryius Thomas on fourth down. You know, that could have sealed the game with tight coverage. And the Patriots wound up winning anyway. But I thought that was poor coverage on the part of Devin McCourty. And I thought it was two of the standout poor plays that he had in this game today. And look, last week was good. And we talked about this a little bit on the pregame show today. Is he having a bounce back season? And when I asked that question to Paul and Andy, I didn't mean, is he bouncing back to Pro Bowl form? Because I don't feel that way. But is he at least bouncing back from bottoming out last year, allowing 1,000 yards and moving to safety? You know, have they moved on from that? And I thought last week was encouraging. This was a step back in the wrong direction for Devin McCourty. 508-298-0398. It's the A's Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. That's where Steven writes in. Adam, was it just me or was Chandler Jones being held on numerous plays? Not just in this game, but in others. I'll tell you one play where I thought that. I didn't see it routinely in the game, but there was one play. Let me see if you remember it. Peyton Manning is scrambling around, right? It's right before the McGahee fumble. It's on that drive, the Broncos' last drive of the game. Manning's scrambling around, and it's Jones up the middle, and Wilfork is pressuring him. And Wilfork, like, has a hand on Manning. Manning was able to get out in the pocket and complete a pass for 9 yards or whatever it was. That's the one play where I think I know what Steven's referencing, where Jones is able to get good pressure right up the middle, and it looked like he may have been held. I didn't think it was something that routinely happened in this game. I do know that Chandler Jones made an impact yet again. No sacks, but made an impact. First tip pass of his career, which I was surprised at. But his first official tip pass anyway. And he also had a pressure early on in the third quarter, or the third drive of the second half, rather, where he had a hand on Manning. He was basically almost dragging him down by one hand. And again, similar to the play we were talking about earlier with he and Wilfork, you know, Manning was able to get out of the pocket. But I thought Jones played relatively strong in this one as well. Steven continues, thought Wes Welker and Steven Ridley did well, apart from the fumble near the end. Thought we were lucky with that last defensive turnover by Ninkovich on McGahee. But hey, a win is a win. Every hole is a goal. And that's Steven in Ireland writing into Web Radio. At Patriots.com, Welker, no qualms about. I know he had the fumble last week, but I think we've seen enough out of Wes Welker where you don't have to worry about ball security being an issue with him. You know,
a nice little player.
Steven Ridley, you know, we really haven't. And let's go back to last year. Like, this is sort of what I was talking about. And, you know, we had that caller right off the top saying, well, you know, plenty of running backs fumble more than Steven Ridley did. Well, Ridley had one fumble in the regular season on just 87 touches and one in the postseason. So I know two fumbles isn't a huge number, but it wasn't like he got a lot of touches. You know, what's that line from the 40-year-old virgin? Extrapolate that, right? Like, extrapolate those numbers out, and you're talking about four, five, six fumbles over the course of a year. So it's obviously something the Patriots coaching staff is concerned about. You know, don't worry if I'm concerned about it. Don't worry if any other media member is concerned about it. Bill Belichick's concerned about it. It's why he benched Ridley after the fumble in this game. It's why he benched Ridley last season. And as an emailer put it earlier, I hope to God that he doesn't bench him next week. And we see Brandon Bolden or Shane Vereen or Danny Woodhead. Ridley deserves to be the starting running back. If he fumbles again next week, let's talk. But I hope they don't bench him this week. And it's something that's going to be a discussion all week leading into that game in Seattle. Let's go back to the phone calls. 508-298-0398. Melvin's in Tennessee, and you're next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Mel.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, man.
Okay. Well, yeah, a win will make ease things over for sure to start off the week. But I have a couple of pluses and minuses, I guess.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys said this or not, but I thought Bennett, of course. I've heard about the hype, and that looked pretty good starting off my first time seeing him.
So I got to tell you, Mel, and I think it was more of an under-the-radar thing, but we were talking about him maybe 10 minutes ago. I think he played well in the couple of flashes that we saw him. He had a few pass breakups, and I also thought he was playing well at the end of the preseason. And I'm trying to remember, who was that last preseason game against? Like the Giants or whatever it was? Just complete garbage time, and he was going against backups. But I thought he looked good in that game. And at that point, I was sort of thinking he was on the roster bubble, and I thought he did enough to make the team. And look, if nothing else, Melvin, I think he deserves more playing time after what we saw today. I thought he looked pretty good.
Certainly. I agree. That was supposed to be Rashad Dowling's kind of hype, and he hasn't lived up to that quite as much, but I was really impressed by just his plays tonight, for sure. And I think I called, like, not too long ago, Spikes again on pass coverage. Not too good.
Oh, he was – there was a play, Melvin, and I think I know the play you're talking about. Thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. And, look, I think Spikes has been very good for this team so far this season. He's had a couple of huge force fumbles. On balance, I like what he does. I like what he brings to this defense. However, the play he's talking about, McGahee just completely torched Brandon Spikes out of the backfield. 22-yard play right down to the 5-yard line or whatever it was, and the next play went to Brandon Stokely, 5-yard touchdown, torched Kyle Arrington. He's right. In pass coverage, Spikes isn't good, but I'll take the whole package with Brandon Spikes. You know, on balance, I'll take what he brings to the table. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. The Patriots beat the Denver Broncos 31-21 here in Foxborough to improve to 3-2. You'll hear from the head coach, Bill Belichick, next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on patriots.com.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy 4 select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you. Live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here on Patriots.com, Patriots beat the Broncos 31-21, though it was a little tighter than that at the end of the game. I will tell you, a little closer than it seemed when you just see the final score, because the Broncos were there knocking on the door before Rob Ninkovich poked out his second fumble of the night. And I think he got some help on that one, because Willis McGahee already sort of losing control of the football on his way to the ground. But Ninkovich, two forced fumbles, and the second one, you know, really set up the Patriots to run out the clock and run away from Denver at the end of this one. By the way, interesting note, and I heard them talking about this on the broadcast, and I just caught it in Mike Reese's blog on ESPNBoston.com. 35 first downs in this one for the Patriots. That is a franchise record. And it underscores not just how balanced the Patriots were. You know, we talked about the rushing yards, 251 on the ground, and also another nearly 200 through the air. But it also underscores how fast the Patriots were going, and that's a point that Mike Reese makes. You know, how up-tempo they were in this game. And that's why they were able to run so many plays and gain so many first downs. So I do think it sort of underscores the tempo and the pacing of this game. Checking the emails to webradio at patriots.com. That's where Tyler writes in from Georgia. Adam, if I'm not mistaken, this is the third Brady-Peyton Manning game in a row that had a 17-point Patriots lead in the fourth that ended in dramatic fashion. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if it's three in a row at 17 points, but I know a lot of the Patriots beat writers have been referencing the last time Manning played the Patriots, battled back when he was a member of the Colts, you know, battled back in a game, and James Sanders sealed it with an interception at the end of that game that the Patriots were able to sneak out a win. That was 2010. And I know Andy Hart was talking about that on the pregame show, and a lot of the beat writers have been singling out that game. So it followed a similar script to that one. Happy for the win, continues Tyler. Plenty of mistakes on both sides today, but thankfully the good managed to outweigh the bad, and the Pats came away with a big win. On to Seattle. Look, I haven't been down on the win. Anytime you beat Peyton Manning, that's not a cheapie. And even if the margin could have been bigger, I'm not upset with the margin at all. You know, the things I've kind of honed in on, the ball security issues from, not Brandon Bolden, from Stephen Ridley, rather. You know, 151 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Back-to-back 100-yard efforts for Stephen Ridley. First Patriots running back to do that since 2007. Back-to-back 200-yard rushing games total for the Patriots offense. First time they've done that as a team since 1978. There's a lot to like on the ground. But is this going to be a thing now with Stephen Ridley going forward? Belichick benched him at the end of the game. Is he going to start next week? I think it's at least a fair question to ask. So that's something that would be mildly concerning and certainly a blemish on what should have been a career day for Stephen Ridley and was a career day for Stephen Ridley. Other things I'm concerned about. You have to be concerned about the secondary. You know, I thought Dennard played all right. And I thought was encouraging. You know, you don't know what you have with him yet, but I thought he was encouraging. But McCourty, Sterling Moore, even Kyle Arrington on that touchdown to Stokely, they all left plays out there. And I thought particularly the pass interference in the end zone on McCourty was pretty bad.
Let's go with the phone calls. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Luke is at UConn, and he's next up here on Patriots.com.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Luke.
I actually just wanted you to go in a bit further on what you thought of Dennard. I only saw him in the fourth quarter, but I thought Manning kept targeting him on maybe it was the second last drive or the last drive, and I thought he played really well against Demaryius Thomas.
Well, here was basically the notes that I have on him. And, Luke, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. Fourth drive of the first half, right? This is after the Dreesen touchdown. So after that drive where the Broncos go 10 plays, 80 yards, Sterling Moore was benched. So Dennard comes on in the nickel package, and he immediately has a pass breakup on third and five, covering Brandon Stokley. So that was the note I have for him in the first half. And, you know, he picked up more playing time as the game wore on, and he was in the sub packages as the game wore on, which, again, just tells you that the coaching staff liked what they saw out of him. And the other note that I have on him is fifth drive of the second half for the Denver Broncos. This is on the drive that ultimately wound up with Brandon Stokley getting into the end zone. McGahee had that 22-yard catch that we talked about where he torched Brandon Spikes. Dennard had another pass breakup on that drive. So two pass breakups in this one. I thought he played well, and I think he deserves more playing time. That's all. Sterling Moore hasn't looked good to me at all, and he's someone I was high on coming into the season. I like what we saw out of him at the end of the year and in the postseason last year. He doesn't deserve the playing time anymore. And you know what? I think with what you saw out of Alphonso Dennard, he deserves more. I'm not saying he'll be great. You know, I like the early returns on Rozai Dowling last season, right? Like, I like the early returns. I thought he looked good when he was out there. I like the early returns on Darius Butler. So all I'm saying is put this guy out there more. Maybe teams will pick on him. Maybe we'll see what you have. But with how the secondary's been going, I would give him more playing time. I'd let him play in those sub-packages. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. Let's go to Ken in Orange County, California. You're next up here on patriots.com. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Adam. How's it going today?
Doing well.
Hey, good. Quick comment. Mm-hmm. Hang up, and I'll let you guys discuss it. But
sure.
Just going to continue with you. I'm not impressed with the secondary yet. You know, I just think the lack of coverage and, you know, the ability to still give up the big play is still where we're lacking. Until we get that remedied, you know, we're not going to be a complete package.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, and Ken, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, I will say, remember who you were going against. I mean, you're going against Peyton Manning. You're going against a good quarterback who displayed he has arm strength. You know, I saw Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe tweet this out, and I guess Gasper had been critical, or at least skeptical, maybe is the better word, about how much arm strength Peyton Manning has. Well, I think it was on display all afternoon. You know, that 28-yard play on fourth down where he threw a laser to Demaryius Thomas, back shoulder throw, and, you know, McCourty wasn't really close in coverage, but I thought that was a great downfield throw. That 45-yard strike where Thomas beat Sterling Moore and then Pat Chung was late getting over as the safety, I thought that was a great throw. So remember who you're going against, but he's right. You know, the secondary was shaky. I thought Chung was poor, again, for the second straight week. I thought he had an awful day against Buffalo. You know, I talked about it a lot. And I thought this was a step in the wrong direction for McCourty after an encouraging game against Buffalo. And same thing from Sterling Moore. Honestly, I think Dennard, from what we saw today, Dennard deserves time in the sub-packages. And I just think Sterling Moore was bad all preseason. Like, how many times did I come in here? And it's just the preseason. But how many times did I come in here with Sterling Moore on my bad list in the preseason? And I thought he was bad against Baltimore two games ago. So bench him, and he's someone who I liked coming into the season. I just said it a few moments ago, but maybe that'll help. You know, maybe getting someone else in the nickel package will help. You know, it's not going to solve anything, everything rather, but some personnel switches back there can't hurt. I guess that's how I would put it. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. Coming up in about, I don't know, 20 minutes, you'll hear from the Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady. But now let's head to the podium and hear from their head coach, Bill Belichick, following his club's 31-21 win over Denver.
Really proud of our football team. I thought those guys did a good job. We did a lot of good things. You know, Denver's a good football team. You know, they competed hard, and they fought right till the end. But, you know, our guys just made a few more plays than theirs did. And, you know, it was a good solid win for us. You know, I think we still got a really work on playing 60 full minutes and doing everything right all the time. But, you know, we did enough things today. So, you know, that was good to come out of there with a win. It's a good football team. Well, yeah, it's a combination of, you know, taking advantage of our scoring opportunities, getting the ball in the end zone. You know, we came close there at the end of the half. We just weren't quite able to, you know, to get that in there on you know, second and third down. So, you know, I think I can do a better job of that, you know, just managing that situation. And then after the exchange of possessions to start third quarter, you know, we had the touchdown there. So it was kind of a big swing there at the end of the half where we, you know, had the points and, you know, we exchanged those possessions in the third quarter, but, you know, we had more possessions than they did. So, you know, it was real good clock management there in the second quarter. Just, you know, we'd like to have gotten a touchdown out of it. But move the ball, you know, consistently. We ran the ball well, threw it well. We had some balance, picked up some third downs, and did pretty well in the red zone. But, you know, it can always be better.
Just mentioned the running game, Bill. How about the job of the offensive line, secondary, and the backs as well?
Yeah, all the way backs, tight ends, receivers, they blocked well. But the offensive line did a good job. You know, we played at a good tempo, played fast. And, you know, I think their conditioning, their hard work all through practice, training camp and all that to go out there and be able to not only block them, but, you know, play it at a high tempo and play fast, and do it with good conditioning and good technique and all that was good. You know, we had a couple negative plays, slowed us down in the first half, but we had a few in the whole game, really. You know, it was a handful of negative plays that kind of slowed us down. But other than that, I thought our execution offensively was, you know, pretty competitive.
Bill, can you talk about Stephen Ridley, overall play, running and ball security?
Well, I mean, you know, every player is responsible for taking care of the ball, whoever has it. So quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, punters, returners, everybody. So, you know, that's always number one. But, you know, Stephen ran hard. I think all our backs did. Woody, Bolden, you know. Vereen made a couple plays for us, so, you know, I think all our backs ran hard and were productive. Confident in all of them.
Given your grasp of and respect for NFL history, when you see Brady and Manning on the same field, you know, what runs through your mind? Not so much during the 60 minutes that's going on, but in the bigger picture.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's two great players, obviously. Two great players. They're both great. Nobody I'd rather have than Tom Brady, but, I mean, Manning's a great player.
Can you just talk about your thinking on the fourth down play in the fourth quarter? Are you thinking on going towards something?
I'm trying to pick it up. It's too far for a field goal, and the ball's on the 30-whatever-yard line. So just trying to pick up the first down.
Why are you offside of a punt?
Because we didn't have very far to go. I mean, we would have gained, you know, some yardage if we punted it, possibly, you know, depending on how good the punt was. We'd have to protect it and all that. I thought we had a good chance to pick it up there. We just didn't do a good job on it.
Coach, how big was the game we had for you?
Yeah, Danny was great. I mean, again, we got good production from all our backs. But, you know, Danny, that was the third and whatever it was, 15, 17, whatever it was, on the outside zone play, and that was a big play. But, I mean, Danny ran well. Has always been productive for us, you know, just like he was last week on the scramble play against Buffalo. Steven, Brandon, you know, we have confidence in all those guys. They've all been productive for us.
Bill, you mentioned the tempo that the offense played at. Did you go a little bit faster today than normal it seemed that way?
Well, I think that we tried to up-tempo it a little bit to keep them from substituting. And they were able to substitute in at times, but I think at other times they couldn't get them in. It looked like they had to hold them. And so it's just, you know, when they weren't substituting, then we could have a little bit of better idea what they were going to do with the group that was in there. You know, when they start subbing, it's hard to tell exactly what group they're getting to. Are they subbing one for one, or are they putting in a different personnel group and all that? So, you know, when they keep the same guys out on the field, then we can have a pretty good idea of what they're going to do from that package. So, but, you know, they got in and out of some stuff, I mean, like we expected they would, but we felt like the tempo helped help us control the game a little bit.
Is that coming even faster when you're running the ball?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Bill, what is it about Shane Green that has you favoring Channel on the goal?
What are you talking about?
The touchdown run that he had earlier.
He was in the game?
I understand that, but is there something about him that
No. No. When we start subbing people, then they can start subbing them. So whoever's in there just stays in there. Like we again, we feel like they can all, they're all productive. We feel like they can all do it.
Bill, you said there's no one you'd rather have to Tom Brady. You know, we obviously didn't have any of those words. It's not Brady versus Brady, but that's what's left to it. What can you say about Tom Brady after a game like this?
He did a great job. He did all the things he needed to do for us to win. Made great throws, managed the game, did a lot of good things in the running game, made key plays in critical situations.
And that's something that you take for granted?
No, you never take it for granted. You work at it every week. It'll be just as hard next week out there in Seattle as it was today against Denver, as it was last week against Buffalo. It's hard every week. Every week we go against other good teams, good players, good coaches. It's hard every week. No, you never take it for granted. Are you kidding me? It's the National Football League.
Bill, they may have asked you something about this already, but the fact that you rushed for 200 yards in consecutive weeks in this day and age of happy football, what does that say about the fundamentals and the importance of it right now?
I don't know. We just try to go out there and move the ball and score points. That's what we try to do. So sometimes we run it, sometimes we pass it, sometimes we do a little of both, sometimes we do more of one than the other. But we try to go out there and move the ball and score points. So that's our offensive philosophy. Yeah, well, I mean, we work on that every single week, talk about it every day, about, you know, putting pressure on the ball, getting it out. Rob kind of had the same play last week. In the Buffalo game where he came from behind, knocked the ball out, they recovered it. But, you know, this time we got it, Vince made the play. And, you know, same thing on McGahee's run. You know, he's able to not only make the tackle, but, you know, we're always aware of the ball like they were when they strip one out on us. So, I mean, that's just good defensive football, just being alert. Yeah, right on Thomas's play, right. Yeah, that was similar to the play that he had last week against Oakland, except I don't know if he got stripped in that game. But, yeah, but, you know, again, it's, you know, when the defender is going in to make the tackle, if he sees that the ball is not being properly secured, then, you know, that a good player will recognize that and be alert to try to put pressure on it, try to, you know, punch it out or get pressure on the ball and knock it out.
Ball out of his hands. A lot of the scoring plays you had, 12, 14, 16 plays, and, you know, ate up a lot of clock.
Yeah, but, I mean, they get the ball back after those scores, so you still got to go out there and stop them.
But if, you know, you eat up more time, if they're 5-6 minute plays, then that's, in theory, less time that he has to work with.
Right, but, I mean, the teams get the same number of possessions. I mean, every time we get the ball, they get the ball. Every time they get the ball, we get the ball, right? So, I mean, you got to go out there and stop them. So, you know, look, we've seen. Peyton had one game. Who was it against? They had like 15 minutes of time of possession. Jacksonville or somebody, I don't know. You know, a couple of years ago, they had 15 minutes of time of possession and still won. So, you got to stop them. I mean, it's great to have the ball in offense. It's great to have a long drive, but you still got to go out there and play defense. Oh, I don't know. It's a whole. I think we're looking at all different. I'd say it's a lot different.
Qualitative wins, awesome.
Scheme, multiple players. I mean, there's no Corey Dillon. It's different style. Different running plays, different style of runners. I'm sorry? Well, you know, we're 3-2, so. Look, there's a lot of things we can do better, no question. A lot of things we can do better. Keep working on those. Try to do a better job of them.
Bill, what are your thoughts on Dennard's contributions in his debut?
Looked like he was in on a few plays. We'll take a closer look at it on film. I think there's a couple other things that, you know, weren't so hot, but he did show up, make a couple plays, so I mean that was good. You know, again, we got contributions from a lot of guys on defense, you know, Raza and Sterling, Alfonso, of course, Devin, Kyle, so both safeties. So we had a lot of guys contribute. But it was good to see Alfonso out there. You know, it was good to see him.
Final question, Coach?
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, that was Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his club's 31-21 win over Denver. As he said, look, got to be happy. Patriots moved to 3-2. They're back over 500. 6 quarters ago, halftime at Buffalo, or just after, you're down 21-7. It's a pretty good turnaround to get back to 500 and a good win today against the Denver Broncos. Belichick touched on a number of things. And I thought
But even despite that, you're not so hot, Jones.
What?
You're not so hot.
What are you saying?
We were just making fun of how he said not so hot, so I was just trying to make fun of him.
Oh, right. I liked he's
give me some credit.
He's
come
referencing
on.
Dennard. Sorry, that wasn't on the air, so I didn't realize what you were talking about. Said Alfonso Dennard not so hot. So I do want to get there momentarily, but a couple of things. One, his explanation for Vereen getting the goal line carry. Well, he's already in the game. And remember, that was a quick play where Lloyd gets it down to the goal line. Vereen was already on the field. They're not going to substitute out. So I thought that was a good explanation by Belichick. You know, that's why Vereen got that goal line play after, as you just heard, the Lloyd catch. A couple other things he touched on. The first is the play of Dennard. And, you know, Belichick said he looked like he was in a couple of plays, got to watch the film, and there were some things that weren't so hot out there, as Kevin alluded to and went totally over my head, the joke there. Got a ton of emails on Alfonso Dennard, a couple of which we've already touched on. Brandon from California wrote in, after good, the bad, and the injured, Brandon goes, whoa, 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 Adam, how can you leave out one of the biggest players of the game in Alfonso Dennard? Didn't have him on the good list. Perhaps, you know, I was wrong. I thought there were other guys who contributed more. I only get three of them. You know, I love Mike Reese, but he cheats a little bit. It's three up, three down, right? Like, sometimes he's got like 6, 7, 8 guys in there. I limit it to three. So there were other things I liked better, is I guess how I would put it. He wasn't quite as over the top as Samuel in Foxborough, who writes in, Adam, hate to jump to conclusions on Dennard, but he will be the difference this year with the defense. Peyton and Eli usually burn us in the fourth quarter with deep throws down the field to their playmakers, and Peyton, one of the greatest of all time, went at Dennard, all resulting in no gains. That's huge for the Patriots. I don't know if they all resulted in no gains. He had a couple of pass breakups. So sort of like Belichick said, and maybe this is cheating a little bit on my end, but sort of like what Belichick said, I'd like to go back and watch the tape, but at first blush, I thought he was pretty good. And I think he certainly deserves more playing time. And I understand the point, although I think it's a little over the top from the emailer, that he can help. The sub-package guy is someone that Eli, Peyton, you know, any good quarterback is going to pick on. You know, Tom Brady did it today. You know, who was the corner out there who Welker was just torching at the beginning of the game? Harris? Just completely torching him. So I just think that's what good quarterbacks do. So if you have a better sub-package guy, a better nickel corner, then sure, that'll help. I don't want to go over the top on the guy, but I like what I saw. And I like what we saw at the tail end of the preseason out of him. I think he deserves more playing time. Not going to go any farther than that, but I think that's fair. Belichick also touched on, a little reluctantly, his decision to go for it on 4th and 5, which a caller brought up earlier, and I thought it was a great point. Why did Belichick go for it there? Would he go against, or would he do that against any other quarterback other than Peyton Manning? In other words, does he coach differently when you're going against Manning? I think we've seen it in the past, and I think this was more evidence of it. You know, it worked out. The Patriots still won. I understand it. But I think it's evidence that he coaches a little differently against Peyton Manning than he does against other quarterbacks. Going for it on 4th and 5 when they could have just punted and, you know, pinned the Broncos deep seemed to make sense. Belichick said they were too far for a field goal, didn't want to handle the punt or something like that was his explanation, which I don't even know what that means. But I think he coaches a little differently against Peyton Manning. A couple emails on that here. Mark from the Cheddar writes in, Adam, about the coaching. People are complaining about Belichick and his questionable decision to go for it on 4th and 5. I don't get it. He coached a team that won by 10 points against the second-best quarterback of this generation. Sure, maybe it shouldn't have been a 17-point win, but is 10 not enough? Well, that's not really the point. Like, they won by 10, I get it. But it's not that you want to go for more points. You just don't want to give the ball back to the Broncos with good field position. I understand the field position was adjusted because they get sacked there. And, you know, they only had to go 43 yards. And I also understand that if you pick up the first down, then you're keeping the ball out of Peyton's hands. I just thought it was an odd time to go for it on 4th and 5. And I don't think there's a lot of quarterbacks he would do that against. Peyton Manning might be the only one. Mark continues, as for the fourth down, I had no problem with it at all. It was in the zone between field goal and punt, and the offense had played well. You can't account for a strip sack, bounce further backwards, loss of 20 yards. Generally, if they don't convert, the Broncos would have had the ball on the 35-ish 40 compared to a punt, which would have been a touchback or could have been a touchback. And one last point about the coaching. Who's responsible for the game plan, which got the Patriots to a 31-7 lead? Bill Belichick. It was a great game plan, and he should get credit for that. Look, they were the up-tempo is totally on the coaching. I agree. And they do deserve credit for getting up early in that game. But, you know, they also would have deserved blame letting the Broncos back in. And I thought that was a decision that let the Broncos back in. The defense came up with a huge play, but even if the Broncos get a field goal there, they made the point on the TV broadcast. Even if the Broncos get a field goal there, they didn't need a touchdown. So even if they get a field goal there, it's a one-possession game. If Ninkovich doesn't poke that ball out, it's a one-possession game. And it's on a questionable coaching decision. I thought the game plan was great, and I think on balance, the coaching deserves credit for this, especially their game plan and their design to go up-tempo against Denver. But that was a questionable decision, and I don't think he would do it against any other quarterback besides Peyton Manning. Michael writes into Web Radio at Patriots.com on the coaching decision to go for it on fourth and five in the fourth quarter. Adam thought it was a decision to go for it on fourth down, was curious to say the least. But do you think Belichick might have been thinking that the offense couldn't get a first down? It was a good opportunity to see what the defense could do in that situation. No, I don't think that's what he was doing. You know, I think he wanted to keep the football out of Peyton Manning's hands. And I think he wanted to put the Broncos away. And look, we've seen Belichick, make questionable decisions against Peyton Manning. Everyone remembers fourth and two. This wasn't as egregious, and it wasn't as unorthodox. And I understand Mark from the Cheddar's point two emails ago saying, you know, if it's just an incomplete pass, the Broncos have the football somewhere around the 40, and if a punt goes for a touchback, well, you get it at the 20. I understand that point, but what if you put it at the 5 or the 7 or something like that? You know, I just think you don't set yourself up to second guess. And on the one hand, you know, you got to give Belichick credit for that. He doesn't care about the second guessing. He wants to do what he thinks is right. And I do give him credit for that. But that decision gave the Broncos an opportunity to jump back in the game, what could have been a one-possession game. So that's the only reason we're second-guessing it. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, but I did think it was interesting. And Belichick was a little reluctant talking about it at the podium, which leads me to believe that maybe he'd want that one back. 508-298-0398, it's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. The Patriots beat the Broncos 31-21 to improve to 3-2 today here in Foxbury. You've already heard from the head coach, Bill Belichick. You hear from their quarterback, Tom Brady, next here on patriots.com.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Holden the lone running back behind Brady. Slot to the near side left. Brady back to throw. Pump fakes right. Comes back left. Touchdown. Brady to Wes Welker. For Wes Welker, his first touchdown reception of the season. For Tom Brady, his eighth touchdown pass of the season.
Gil Santos with the call on the Patriots Radio Network. First touchdown of the season for Wes Welker, who I thought was immense in this one today. All you need to do is look at that big third down conversion at the end of the game. About 3 minutes left when the Patriots are running down the clock. Who's Brady look to? Wes Welker. 12 catches in this one today. Check that, 13 catches on 15 targets, over 100 yards and a touchdown. He was great today. First time he gets in the end zone this season as the Patriots beat the Broncos 31-21. Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. You're from the Patriots quarterback Tom Brady coming up here in about 5 minutes. Want to work our way through a couple of emails here to webradio at Patriots.com. That's where Keith writes in. And Keith, I believe, called earlier, and he made some good points in his phone call. I think he made some good points in this email as well. Adam, the secondary improved. Oh, by the way, subject line. Let's criticize players on the defense besides McCourty, which I do think is fair. By the way, I led the bad list talking about Sterling Moore. And I talked about Pat Chung last week a lot, and we talked about him here as well. But I do think it's a fair point. Like, McCourty gets the brunt of the criticism in the secondary. Now, he's a defensive captain. He was a Pro Bowler 2 years ago, and he's someone everyone was high on. So I do think he deserves more criticism than the other players, the first-round pick. But that's fine. I understand the point. So Keith writes, Adam, the secondary improved, and Peyton's touchdown stopped when Dennard played outside corner. He has good ball skills and plays similar to Brandon Flowers. Keep in mind, Peyton only scored 21 points against the secondary. It's a win in my book. And you know what? It's a good point by Keith. You know, I hadn't really thought about it in those terms. Like, it seemed like the Broncos were really knocking on the door, but at the end of the day, he's right. 21 points. And I've said a ton. Dennard was good. I want to see more Dennard. But there are other guys who I thought we got good early returns on. I feel like I was saying similar things about Rasai Dowling last year. Like, through the first couple of games before he got hurt, everyone's saying, well, he's starting. That's good. And maybe we saw a little bit more out of Dennard in terms of production. I remember saying something similar about Darius Butler, his rookie year. So all I'm saying is it's a small sample size. I was encouraged. I think he deserves more playing time. I would sit Sterling Moore. I agree with that. But the point on just 21 points is a good one by Keith. I, for one, was very impressed, he continues, with the defense getting turnovers consistently when they need them to make a play at a crucial time at points in games. We've said this about the defense before, by the way. 2 years ago, in 2010, like, that was what I thought was a staple of that team. That they could get turnovers, and they'd continue. And remember, in the postseason, they just didn't. So, relying on turnovers is a bit finicky. That said, the Packers won a Super Bowl that way. The Saints won a Super Bowl that way. So, we've seen defenses do it. I think that's a bit of an iffy way to go about it. Keith continues, we're so down on McCourty that we failed to look at Kyle Arrington, missing plays and getting beat consistently as a slot corner. Well, that's not true. I crushed Kyle Arrington last week. Crushed him. I thought he was the worst player in the secondary. Now, we ended up talking a lot about McCourty, but go back and listen. The guy I singled out at first was Arrington. He was beat all up and down the field last week against Buffalo. And he was beat on Stokely's touchdown today. Just completely bit on the run fake, and Stokely was wide open on the play-action pass. So I've cited out Arrington for the poor plays. McCourty will not be cut, which I agree with. And you have Chung and Arrington continuously getting beat every single week. I also noticed Rasai playing the game, covering athletic tight ends. I think that's a good fit for him. Dowling was out there a little bit. He's right about that. Dowling was on the field a little bit in this one. I was more encouraged by what we saw out of Dennard. Maybe it was a game plan thing with Rasai Dowling. But I would like to see a little bit more out of Dennard from what we saw. I didn't see much out of Dowling other than the fact that he was on the field. And I understand the point. McCourty's not the only one struggling in the secondary. I think I've been critical of Pat Chung these last 2 weeks. You know, I thought he was bad against Buffalo. And, you know, I thought he was poor again today. And by the way, I'm thinking about it. The Arrington game was against Baltimore, where I was really crushing Arrington. It wasn't the Buffalo game. It was the Baltimore game, where Arrington just got beat all up and down the field. Let's continue with the emails here to webradio@patriots.com. It's where Kevin writes in, Adam, good point about McCourty. If we're going to bench Ridley for being a liability on one play, what should be done about McCourty? He's the sole reason the Broncos got their first touchdown. Not that the backups are any better, but we've seen what we have in McCourty. Time to move him down the depth chart. I don't really agree with that. You know, to me, I think that's a little extreme. You know, I wouldn't bench him. Now, maybe you start experimenting with him a little bit more. You have Steve Gregory out of the lineup. I forget who wrote this. I think it was Greg Bedard of the Boston Globe. In some of his pregame thoughts, like, maybe you see McCourty a little bit at safety because Gregory's not out there. Do they trust Tavon Wilson against Peyton Manning? They didn't do any of that, but that thought made sense to me, that maybe you want to see a little bit of Devin McCourty at safety. I wouldn't bench him. I would bench Arrington and Sterling Moore much before I'd bench Devin McCourty. At least we've seen something out of McCourty. He was good in that Buffalo game. I don't know that you can say that about Arrington or Moore at any point this season. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Adam Jones with you here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, where earlier today, Patriots beat the Broncos 31-21. They improved to 3-2. Let's head back to the podium and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, it's Patriots Broncos. I mean, it was a team win. We got some great turnovers from our defense. And I thought offensively we capitalized at times. There was a few lulls in there, which I wish we'd execute a little bit better. But for the most part, you know, it's a good day. It's a good win against a very good team. And, you know, Broncos got a hell of a team in all three phases, and I thought we really stood up to them. So it's a good win for us.
How big was Woodhead for you? 3rd and 14, 3rd and 17 at one point.
Two huge plays. And I thought there was a lot of guys, and Danny especially, but some guys made huge plays on third down. Dion made one. Woody made some. Wes made some. Brandon made some. So everybody really contributed. You know, it's fun when, you know, everybody's involved and, you know, everyone's making plays and, you know, everyone was really, you know, fired up. Brandon made some great runs. Steven made some great runs. Woody made some plays. Shane got a big pass interference call, so it was a fun day for everybody.
Hey, Tom, can you, like, count the times on one hand that you've ran the ball on 3rd and 17?
No, you know what? The call came in. He said, I think we can get this. And they were in a pretty light personnel grouping, and handed off to Woody, and he found a crease. And once he gets going, he's got some blockers ahead of him. You know, he's tough to bring down. So, you know, you get an extra 18 on third and 17. That was huge. It ended up being a touchdown drive, too, and really propelled us there in the third quarter.
Rushing yards. Can you think of another time in your starting quarterback tenure
that
you guys run the ball this well?
No, well, I mean, we're getting a lot of nickel defense, so when they put little guys out there, we got to take advantage of it. And I think we're playing, you know, definitely a more physical style and controlling the tempo of the game by running the football. And you know, we got to keep doing it. So it's only been 5 games. We've got a lot of football games left, and you know, we got to be at our best.
You guys always put an emphasis on playing good complementary. It seems like that's really been the case over the last couple of weeks, for the defense has picked up the offense, especially giving you guys some good field position.
Yeah, I've made some huge plays there, you know, down the stretch defensively. That fumble was, I mean, that was game saver. So, I mean, they've been getting turnovers all season, and, you know, we got to do a better job protecting the football. But, you know, for the most part, you know, it was very good complementary football for us today.
Tom, you talked about there are little guys that are out there. Is that the idea of upping the tempo and going those huddles much?
Well, it's just been what we've chosen to do the last few weeks. I think that's more of what we're doing as opposed to what they're doing defensively, and we're just trying to put a lot of pressure on those guys to get their calls in and line up and play against us. But we're running the ball against some very advantageous looks, and we're throwing the ball against some advantageous looks, and I think the important part is to be able to do both. You can't just throw it all day. You can't run it all day. You got to be able to do both. And you know, it's been pretty good the last few weeks. Well, we can go pretty fast at home because you can communicate really well. So, all right, last question. Sorry, can you, what was the first part?
Do you feel less pressure this year when you have Steven Wheatley running?
Well, I think there's no question that it really helps the way that we're playing offensively when we're able to run the football like we're doing. You know, you just can't drop back and throw it 60 times every game. You got to be balanced, and I think we're doing a very good job of, when we're calling the runs, we're executing, and we're gaining, you know, some significant yards per attempt. So I hope we keep it up. Thank you.
A couple interesting things from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. And, you know, we've been talking about the Patriots running game, and I talked about this more last week, I feel like, where the Bills were in their sub-packages. They have this light personnel out there, right? Nickel packages, dime packages, a lot of defensive backs, not a lot of linebackers, which is to, you know, cope with the Patriots passing game. And we talked a lot about that in the Bills game last week. Well, Brady essentially said the same thing at the podium. When they have those little guys out there, when they have lighter packages out there, we got to run it. And the Patriots have done just that. 251 yards on the ground this week for the Patriots, 247 last week against the Bills. And you know what? If teams stop having that lighter personnel out there, Brady's going to pick them apart. You know, Brady only had 223 yards and a touchdown today, but I thought he was great. I thought he was great. You know, the way he controlled the tempo in this one and the pacing, some of that's on the coaching staff. Certainly, it's their game plan. But you need a quarterback like that to execute it. I thought he was great at that. And I just think that decision to run against these lighter packages, I don't know if that's McDaniels. I don't know if that's something the Patriots would have been doing anyway because they want to be more ground-oriented. But to me, that seems like something McDaniels is stressing. The only time I can remember the Patriots doing it last year was against the Jets here in Foxborough. I referenced that game last week on the post-game show. That's the only time I can remember him doing it. And Ben Jarvis Green Ellis had a monster game. You know, other than that, I don't think they've done it. And the only shame with the running game today was Steven Ridley and that fumble. Because otherwise, he would have had a perfect day. A perfect day. And the question now, and I think something to delve into during the week, and a question that I'm sure we'll talk about on the pregame show, or the Patriots pregame social next week leading into the Seattle game, you know, does he start? He should. He absolutely should, in my mind. I can't imagine, with how good he looked today for 3.5 quarters, that Bill Belichick would bench him in the Seattle game. But it's at least a fair question to ask. Because we've seen Bill do stuff like this before. You know, he holds jokes in press conferences by Wes Welker against him and benches him for a series in a playoff game. So I wouldn't be surprised if he benches a guy for ball security issues. Checking the emails to webradio at patriots.com. That's where Pablo writes in from Mexico City. Adam, avid listener here. This game almost gave me a heart attack, but the defense came up with a play at the end. Love our rushing game, and I hope they don't bench Ridley for the fumble. Him and Bolden make for a killer 1-2 punch. I also like what I saw from Dennard. Keep up the great work. Love the show. We appreciate that, Pablo. I will say, you know, similar to Dennard, who I feel like we've talked about here a little bit, Bolden, we really got an extensive look at him last week. And obviously, you like what he saw. His game jumped off the charts, 137 yards or whatever it was last week. Well, 54 yards on 14 carries, about 4 yards a pop. I thought he was fine, and it seemed like he ran better as the game went on. Remember, I think it was two of his first three rushes went for negative yards. His first rush was a 3-yard loss. Miller got him in the backfield. And the other one is a play I referenced earlier, 4-yard loss on the fourth drive of the first half for the Pats, where Wendell just whiffed on a block. And I thought Wendell had the roughest day of the offensive line. At first blush, you know, maybe we go back and, you know, the sacks or the missed blocks go to other guys. But watching it at first blush, I thought Wendell whiffed on a few, allowed a couple of sacks. And that play with Bolden I thought was an iffy one. But on balance, I think Bolden looked pretty good, even with some of the negative plays. And he's the guy who finished the game after the Ridley fumble. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio at patriots.com. It's how you get in touch with the post-game show. We're presented by Sun Life Financial. They can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. Let's continue with the emails to webradio at patriots.com. That's where Tony writes in. Adam, this is a nail-biting game. Those passes to Demaryius Thomas were nerve-wracking. And I agree. Most of them were on Sterling Moore, by the way. Most of them were on Sterling Moore. That one on fourth down was one-on-one coverage. Can Devin McCourty man up on Demaryius Thomas? And when I say man up, can he cover him one-on-one in man coverage? The answer was no. Unequivocally no. Beautiful throw by Manning to the back shoulder. And they get 28 yards on a fourth down. So I agree. Like, seeing Thomas just streaking down behind the defense was nerve-wracking. I think it's a good word for it. And by the way, Sterling Moore got burned on that opening play for 43 yards or whatever it was to Demaryius Thomas. Got burned, came back and recovered to strip out the ball. But if that doesn't happen, you know, you're looking at maybe the start of the game completely differently. So I give Moore a lot of credit on that play, recovering after getting burned, but he still got burned. Tony continues. Good game, though. Ninko was good when we needed it, forcing two fumbles. I'm still in love with Ridley, but that fumble towards the end of the game obviously almost cost us the game. And what's up with Bill going for it on fourth down? Seems like he's lost faith in Gostkowski, too. At least punt it away. We basically gave the Broncos two touchdowns, or at least one. On another note, looks to me that Wes Welker should have gotten some kind of contract. Doesn't look like he's lost a step. Always got to settle. Hope for the best and keep up the good work. And again, that's Tony writing into Web Radio at patriots.com. The Welker contract thing, look, this is one, and I've said this, I don't even know how many times, but I will reiterate. I understand the Patriots and their approach with Wes Welker. I didn't understand it with Vince Wilfork. Didn't understand it with Logan Mankins. You know, players in their mid-20s and productive, playing at a Pro Bowl level, like, I understood the Patriots approach, or didn't understand the Patriots approach, rather, with those guys. Wes Welker, slot receiver, couple of years removed from major reconstructive knee surgery, takes a ton of hits on the wrong side of 30. I understand the approach. I love Wes Welker, and I think his game today was immense, but I understand their approach with Wes Welker and the contract. I hadn't thought about Tony's point on Belichick not having confidence in Gostkowski, and maybe that's where my brain should have gone to. It didn't. I went pretty immediately to the, well, is Belichick coaching differently against Peyton Manning? Like, in other words, because of the guy on the other side, is he coaching differently? Is Manning in Belichick's head or whatever you want to call it? And the caller actually brought that up, and I thought it was an excellent point. But Tony's point is interesting as well. You're on the 37-yard line. Like, it's a 52-yard field goal. And I understand the weather wasn't great. Hey, Kevin Collins. Kevin Collins, you listening? Question for you. You were out there on the field today.
I was, sorry.
How crappy was the weather?
It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't bad,
right? It
wasn't
nearly as bad as
I thought. So it didn't look bad, right? I was out there a little bit pregame. Didn't look terrible.
It was like it was a cold mist at times, but wind not a factor, and so, I would say precipitation probably not a factor.
And for field goal kicking, it didn't seem like it was an issue.
No.
So it would have been a 52-yarder for Gostkowski.
Yeah.
You know? Or check that. Sorry, it would have been longer than that. 54 yards. So that's a long field goal, but that's not unheard of. And I thought it was weird that they don't punt there. And maybe that does say something about Gostkowski, but that is a long field goal. I mean, it's on the other side of 50 yards. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go back to the phone calls. Robin is in Florida, and you're next up here on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Adam. Hey, listen, you know, this team, I don't think that people realize how blessed we are to have this team. I mean, this is a great team. I mean, not once did I ever really feel like we were in danger of losing this game.
Really?
Really. I mean,
so when Peyton Manning had the ball down 10, I didn't necessarily think they were going to lose, but you didn't edge to the front of your seat a little bit?
Not really. I don't know. I just trust this team, and every week in and week out, they just do what it takes.
Well, I mean, Robin, I respect that. I respect that. I think you're probably in the minority on that. Just in terms of, you know, when Manning has the ball down 10, I think most people were, but I understand what you're saying.
But if they score a touchdown there, okay, we're down three. They're down three.
Even if they get a field goal, if they score anything, even if they get a field goal, it's a one possession game, Robin.
Time's running out.
Yeah.
Do you honestly think we were going to lose that game, Adam? Come on.
No, well, I'm not saying that. And Robin, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. I'm not saying I thought they were going to lose, but the game gets interesting there. Like, all they needed was a field goal. They didn't need a touchdown there to make it a one possession game. Obviously, you prefer the touchdown, but that's all you needed was a score. And then the Patriots don't pick up a first down, and then you have the ball back, and it's a one possession game. It's what happened in Baltimore. It's exactly what happened in Baltimore. The Broncos were two scores down. They scored. Patriots couldn't run out the clock. Baltimore came right back down. I think I said Broncos. Baltimore is what I meant. It's the exact same scenario as that game. So I'm not saying I thought they were going to lose, but I don't know. My antenna went up a little bit, you know, when Peyton Manning has the football down by two possessions and he's driving. He's deep in Patriots territory, or in Patriots territory, rather. So, I don't know. I'm not saying I thought they were going to lose, but I think most Patriots fans were looking at that and maybe a little nervous that Peyton Manning had the ball. And I know all Patriots fans were pretty excited when you see Rob Ninkovich force out his second fumble on Willis McGahee. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue with your thoughts here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, and we'll go around the AFC East next here on patriots.com.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Pfft, rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now.
Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Second down and 10. Inside handoff to McGahee. Bursts it up the middle. Down inside the 10. Fumble on the play. Ball on the ground. Patriots recover. But Denver turns it over for the third time on a fumble.
Gil Santos with the call on the Patriots Radio Network. A little bit subdued there, huh? Like I sort of expected a little bit more.
That was a big play at the end of the game.
That's like a big turnover right there, Gil. Patriots win 31-21. Over the Denver Broncos, they improved to 3-2, 1-2, forced fumbles on the game for Rob Ninkovich, obviously on my good list here tonight on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show.
Brings back memory. I mean, I should have been calling the game because you remember my dramatic fumble call from the Arizona game? You know, that would have been much more appropriate.
For those
of
you who don't know what he's talking about, Kevin Collins
Jones
was in here when Brandon Spikes forced that fumble on Ryan Williams, was it, for the Cardinals?
Correct.
And just went berserk. Is really the only word I can come up with. So, yeah, you're right. I would have taken that over Gil there. Like, hey, Gil, that was a big turnover. Let's get to the emails. webradio@patriots.com before we head back to the podium and hear from Patriots wide receiver Wes Welker. Lyndon writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, it's one thing to fumble when you need to make something happen, but it's another when you really just need to hold on to the ball and run out the clock. And this is in reference to Ridley's fumble. I think it's a good point. On another note, I was surprised they tried to throw it on fourth down. I thought for sure we'd see a pooch punt. Just another option that Belichick could have done there. Look, clearly, he didn't want Peyton Manning to get the football back. Like, that's obvious. The question is that a Peyton Manning thing? Is that something about the defense? And I tend to think it's more Peyton Manning than it is about this defense. You know, I think there are reasons to at least be more encouraged from this defense this season than in years past. JJ writes into webradio@patriots.com in reference to that last caller who, God love him, said he was confident when Peyton Manning had the football and was driving down two scores in a 10-point football game. I don't know, it's the same scenario as the Baltimore game, but he was fine with it. That's great. JJ writes in, edge of my seat. I fell off the chair when Denver started chipping closer. I was thinking, here we go again. But the defensive improvements this year are really showing. And that's Jonathan writing in from Orlando. Look, I like the way one of our emailers put it. I think it was Keith in Dallas. 21 points against Peyton Manning's pretty good. Like, you're going to take that most days of the week. And that's a good way of looking at it. Like, you got beat in the secondary, but the guy on the other side's pretty good. You know, you're talking about arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. You know, he and Tom Brady are certainly in the top 10, if not top 5. So you're going against a guy who's pretty good and played very well in this one. People were questioning his arm strength. You know, I didn't really see it. I mean, the only game I really sat there and watched of Peyton Manning's was against Atlanta. That was his worst game of the year, but I didn't really think it was poor arm strength. I thought it was poor decision making. And, you know, we've seen Peyton Manning go through stretches of that, bouts of that in his career before, but on balance, his decision making is pretty good. I thought his decision making was good today. And he found Demaryius Thomas against whoever was on him. McCourty on that fourth down, it was mostly Sterling Moore, just abused him. But I do think there is some progress out of the defense. You know, they were shaky at the end of the Baltimore game, and they were real shaky in that first half against Buffalo. But you know what? I think there are more signs out of the defense that they are making progress. And I don't think you could have said that at this time of year last year about that Patriots defense. There were no signs of progress. You know, and this time, you have some younger players who are playing well for you. I thought Chandler Jones made a bit of an impact today with a tip ball and a couple of pressures of Peyton Manning. You know, Tavon Wilson got his first start. I don't think he showed up favorably, but it's his first start. Hightower was out for this one. But in general, these first five games, you've had some young guys making contributions on the defensive side of the football. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue with your feedback, but let's head back to the podium and hear from Patriots wide receiver Wes Welker.
It's a big win, especially against a good team like that. I mean, Denver's a great team. Obviously, you got Peyton and everybody else and Dumervil and Von Miller and Champ Bailey. I mean, they got a lot of great players, so they're a good team, and luckily we came away with the win.
Wes, what does it say about your team? You guys went pretty quick with the no huddle. Obviously, that puts pressure on the defense, but there's pressure for you guys to execute when it's going that quickly. What does it say about your team that you guys were able to execute as well to get at that speed?
Well, I mean, we practice well, and I think it shows up on the game field whenever you practice the way we need to and the way we want to have a tempo in the game and do all those things, and I think it shows up in the games the way we practice. Yeah, I mean, we just kind of mixed it up and we were able to, you know, run the ball effectively and then get some passes in there and do some things there. And you know, we were just able to move the ball and really get at a fast pace and a good tempo. And
it worked. Yeah, I got it right here.
I'm sorry, we had 61 possessions or something like that? What? Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, anytime you can control the game like that and keep on moving the ball and have positive plays and keep the possession and especially keep it away from, you know, Peyton and their offense, you know, it's good for us. You know, I think every week you kind of go into it trying to understand your opponent and know who you're going against and try to attack it the best you can and win at all costs. And there were a few times where, you know, I didn't get open, but for the most part, I feel like I got open a lot and was able to make some plays and do some good things out there.
Wes, can you just take a shot at explaining what makes Tom Brady great?
Basically just, you know, his work ethic and the way he approaches a game and the hunger that he has for it and the time he puts in and understand that, you know, he wants to be a great quarterback and at all costs, and he's all about it.
Looking ahead, Jets, you start to expect that?
I think it's tough to do it with us just because, you know, we got Brandon Lloyd, we got Gronk, we got Dion, we got the running game. There's so many options and so many things to think about that it's hard to say that they're going to do that. And if they do, you know, we have a lot of other options. So many defensive backs?
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean? Like, covered up the... Oh, covered it up. Okay. Sorry, I think of the Boston accent there too much. Yeah, I mean, you know, they changed it up. They went some regular personnel, and then they, you know, put out some DBs and did that. So they mixed it up, and then we just tried to adjust to whatever they were doing and put ourselves in the best play possible. Good? It's very important. I mean, that one was a little bit too close for comfort. But, you know, I knew the ball was coming quick. I knew I had to press it a little deeper than I wanted to, but I knew it was coming quick, and I was ready for it and luckily able to make the play. Thank you.
So you hear Wes at the podium kind of joking around with the Boston accent, which I found amusing. And you heard the question there from Zoe about the bracket coverage that Welker was getting. And the Broncos completely blew one, and it's been on that third down play I've been referencing, that third and five, where Welker just wiggled free and sealed the game for the Patriots. And I tweeted this out at the time. It's like, hey, Denver, like, you may want to cover Wes Welker on third down. Like, you may want to do that. I understand what you're doing. You got a linebacker and one of their sub-package guys. I don't know if it was a corner or a safety. It was a defensive back. And they're sitting there in bracket coverage, and the linebacker fell asleep. So will Wes Welker see more of that? It's an interesting question with Seattle and the Jets on tap. But I don't know. I thought Welker was great in that game today, particularly in the first half, 9 catches, and Brady went to him a ton. And he was also great on that second drive, 5 catches, 37 yards, and his 8-yard touchdown, which, by the way, was on a perfectly thrown ball by Brady. Like, a lot of quarterbacks don't lead the receiver like that going right into the end zone. That would have still been a completion. I don't know that most quarterbacks get a touchdown there. That was a well-thrown ball. But he was great on that drive. He was great in the first half. And this is, what, 3 weeks in a row now that Welker's been excellent? This comes after questions early in the season about his usage. And, you know, I love that people now go, oh, well, you know, what was all the fuss about Wes Welker? Well, this sort of underscores why Welker shouldn't have been sitting the first 2 weeks of the year. Like, to me, everyone who was questioning why Welker wasn't playing over Julian Edelman, you are now vindicated. Like, this underscores it. He hasn't lost a step. He's clearly better than Julian Edelman. Like, it's not even a debate. So everyone is kind of pounding their chests and saying, well, Welker will ultimately get it figured out. Well, he wasn't playing more snaps than Edelman until Edelman got hurt. And I don't know. I have no idea what the coaching staff saw that led them to believe that Edelman is a better player in this offense than Wes Welker is, or that he deserved more playing time. I don't see it. And not that you're rooting for a guy to get hurt, but when Edelman comes back, he should not cut into Welker's playing time. Welker should stay out there. And I think games like today underscored it. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. It's where Blake writes in. Adam, great day to be a Pats fan. As far as Ridley goes, I think if you're going to give Ninkovich and the Pats defense credit for the final force fumble, you got to do the same for Von Miller in Denver. It's a good defensive play, and I have no qualms giving Ridley the ball back from here on out. I understand the point, Blake, and I don't know, I feel like I say this at least once on the postgame show. We are a Patriots postgame show, you know, which means we're going to take a more critical look at what the Patriots do. And, you know, we'll be more complimentary of the Patriots players, you know, than maybe the other team. And I don't know, we're watching the Patriots closer than we're watching the opponent, I guess is how I would put that. And I don't know, it was a good defensive play by Von Miller. I understand it. But I thought the emailer who made the point, you know, that a fumble in the first quarter and a fumble when you're up by a couple of scores trying to run out the clock at the end of the game, that's different. Like, ball security has to be a priority there. This wasn't just a random point in the game. You know, I thought they were significant at the time, but at least Welker and Gronkowski's fumbles against Buffalo were early in the game, where ball security is less of an issue. Not that it's ever not an issue, but it's not going to kill you the way that fumble potentially could have. So I understand the point, but, you know, we're always just going to look more critically at the Patriots players on a Patriots postgame show. You know, Miller made a good play for the strip sack, just like Ninkovich did on his forced fumbles. I understand the point, but again, who cares what I think? Belichick benched him. You know, so if it's not an issue, you know, why did Belichick bench him? And why did he bench him last year? The coaching staff thinks it's an issue. By the way, Blake concluded, very good defensive play, no qualms about giving Ridley the ball back from here on out. And look, I feel the same way. Like, bench him today, fine. Bench him for this game. I have no problem with that. At the end of the game, he had a fumble. You want to send a message to the player that ball security is important, so have Brandon Bolden run out the clock. Fine. Ridley better start next week. He better start against Seattle. Or, I don't want to say better, but I want to see him out there. I think he deserves to play. He had 151 yards in this game today. He had over 100 last week. And Bolden's look fine, substituting, but Ridley has another gear over Bolden. I think that's pretty apparent to anyone watching these games. And without that fumble, there's no question, you know, who the player of the game was today for the Patriots. It would have been Ridley. The fumble knocked him back to the pack a little bit. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. That's where Anders writes in from Norway. Adam, good win, although it was a little too close. I think we're a bit lucky with Denver fumbling, making things a little bit easier to sit back and let it play out. By the way, I've said this a couple of times. I just want to get the point out before we get back to Anders' email. McGahee was sort of losing the football before Ninkovich poked it out. And this is after McGahee had just an awful, awful drop on, I think it was a fourth down, on one of those drives earlier. Where
it was fourth and one right around midfield, and he was wide open for the first down and dropped it.
Yeah, and it's just, what are you doing? Right, McGahee dropped, fourth drive of the second half, turnover on downs, he's wide open, he's all alone. So McGahee kind of shot him in the foot a couple of times. Now, Ninkovich still poked the ball out, and he had two of them, don't forget. And I thought the first one was significant. You know, the first one gave the Patriots a short field, and Stephen Ridley was able to run it in from 8 yards out and made it 31-7. So I thought his first forced fumble was a great play. But McGahee played a role in this thing as well. I personally was not too disappointed with the offense and the defensive line tonight. Secondary was still weak, and I was hoping they would have been shaped better this week, cornerbacks especially. Very impressed with the run play. Ridley played well, obviously. What I didn't like was his expression on the sideline after the fumble. Obviously, he should care, but he looked like his self-esteem was down in the dirt. The situation given, I can understand why, but still, he must keep his composure. Given his previous ball handling issues, I hope he didn't get a mental setback. Am I over-detailing it? What's your view on that? I don't think you're over-detailing it at all. You know, Belichick benched him for a reason. Again, don't listen to any media members this week. You know, who cares what their opinions are on this? Who cares what mine is? Who care what other media members' opinions are? It's clear what Belichick's opinion is. Ridley had two fumbles last year, one in a playoff game. Ridley didn't see the light of day after that. And he fumbles in this game against Denver and didn't get back onto the field. I hope there's no carryover to next week against Seattle, but I wouldn't put it past Belichick. He's done it before. And Bolden has looked good, in fairness to Brandon Bolden. He's looked good. Ridley's looked better, but Bolden's looked good. So, does he not start in that game, or does he have a reduced role so the coaching staff can send a message? Sure. The composure? I got to be honest. I saw a couple of shots of Ridley on the sideline. I didn't think much of it. Maybe I just wasn't reading into it as much, but I didn't see much of the body language on the sideline. I think that's always dangerous to read into. You know, unless it's like Jay Cutler body language, I think it's dangerous to read into. Anders concludes, I also think Welker should get a shout-out for his game tonight. Makes it that much greater sitting around with six Vikings fans showing off my number 83 jersey. Have yourselves a great Sunday night. And again, that's Anders writing in from Norway. I thought Welker was great. I thought he was great in this game. And I just said it a few moments ago, especially in that first half. And I think he's been great these last couple of weeks. So, you know, emailers have made the point, this is why you want to pay Welker or whatever. I've said I understand how the Patriots progressed there or how the Patriots approached that situation. I get it. On the wrong side of 30, plays a position, slot receiver that's going to take a ton of hits, couple years removed from major reconstructive knee surgery. I understand their approach with Wes Welker. Didn't get it with Will Fort, didn't get it with Mankins. Players in their mid-20s playing at a Pro Bowl caliber level. But I get it with Welker. And you know what? If he has a great year, you franchise him again next year. I understand their approach with him. I understand fans' frustration, but I understand the approach. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Dylan writes in. Adam, good win today, though there were a few things you can complain about. But overall, good day at the offense, or good day rather for the offense, defense, and special teams. I'm starting to come around on the defense, and I no longer have the hopeless feeling every time our defense is on the field. And look, I think people were nervous. I was nervous when Peyton Manning had the ball down a couple of scores, but Patriots defense got a big turnover out of Rob Ninkovich. You know, you can say they forced a turnover on downs. They really didn't. McGahee had a drop. But, you know, they were able to get off the field in a couple of those situations. So I understand the point from Dylan. I'm starting to expect more, or starting to expect them, rather, to make a play, circa 01 through 04, and not give up on the play like the last few years, writes Dylan. I don't think they've quite arrived, and our back end can improve a lot, but I still think it's encouraging. I don't think Jones's day will show up on the stat sheet, but I thought he was getting good pressure on a lot of snaps. If the offense can keep up its blistering pace on the ground and through the air, I think this defense will be improving each week. And again, that's Dylan writing into Web Radio on Patriots.com. I think the point on Chandler Jones is a good one. And I sort of feel the same way I did after the Baltimore game with Chandler Jones. Like, he was pressuring the quarterback, moving him off his spot, if you will, and just kind of around Peyton Manning, just like he was kind of around Joe Flacco. Now, you want more. You want sacks. You want forced fumbles. You want production. But you're not going to get a two-sack game every single game out of Chandler Jones. And I thought he was getting good pressure on Peyton Manning. And, you know, Ninkovich is one of the guys who actually got to him in this game today. So did Jerod Mayo. You know, those were your sacks on the afternoon. But I thought they were able to get after him a little bit, and I thought Chandler Jones was at the head of the class for that. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue to hear from you there, but first, let's go around the AFC East.
It's time to go around the AFC East on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Patriots, of course, picked up a 31-21 win over the Denver Broncos. They moved to 3-2. And now sit at the top of the AFC East. Looking at the other teams in the division, Miami improved to 2-3 with a 17-3 win at Cincinnati. Nice win for that Miami Dolphins team, who, by the way, when you saw them on Hard Knocks, I feel like I say this every week on this program, but when you saw them on Hard Knocks, you thought, or at least I thought, that they were in for a long season. And Ryan Tannehill has played well. Threw for over 400 yards last week. He was like a yard off of the rookie record that Cam Newton set last year. 17 of 26, 223, no touchdowns, but no picks, more importantly. And Rashad Jones had an interception, which sealed the game on Andy Dalton. Next up for the Bills, home against St. Louis, or the Dolphins, rather, home against St. Louis, who's 3-2, but hasn't won on the road yet, the Rams haven't. It's a 1 o'clock game. I don't know. The Dolphins can get back to 500. And at least they're showing that there's a little more fight there than maybe we expected watching Hard Knocks earlier this season on HBO. Bills, however, look like they're going in the totally opposite direction. They did not bounce back from the shellacking they got from the Patriots last week in the second half up in Buffalo. They dropped to 2-3 after getting just demolished 45-3 today at San Francisco. And we've now seen the Niners just roll through the Bills and Jets these past couple of weeks. Don't forget, they're coming here in December, I believe it is, so something to maybe circle on your calendar. Alex Smith in that one, 303 yards, three touchdowns. As the Niners pile up 45 points, Colin Kaepernick, another touchdown on the ground for the second straight week as the Niners have been featuring some of that wildcat offense. Next up for the Bills, the 4-1 Arizona Cardinals in Arizona, 4:05 next Sunday. So it doesn't get a lot easier for Buffalo as they stay on the road. One other game in the AFC East is tomorrow night. Jets come in at 2-2, so a win would tie them with the Patriots atop the division. But they're taking on a 4-0 Houston on Monday Night Football tomorrow night. And some of the stories coming out, and I feel like they come out every week in the New York papers, but some of the stories coming out, more Tim Tebow in the offense. A greater role for Tim Tebow, which I think makes some sense for the Jets. I've said all along, by the middle of the season, I said week 8, week 9, whatever you want to put on it, he was going to be the starter. And I still believe that, and I think he deserves it. He showed last year that he can start and win games in the NFL. And I think he deserves to start somewhere. Sanchez has been awful. Now, I don't think he should start this week. But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a greater role tomorrow night against the Texans, and I think that's a good course of action to take for the New York Jets. Again, a win would tie them with the Patriots atop the division at 3-2. That's around the AFC East here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, presented, obviously, by Sun Life Financial. They can help you protect your financial security whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. Let's go back to the phone calls. 508-298-0398. That's where Alex dials us up from Chicago. What's going on, Alex?
First of all, I just want to say that Jets are going to lose. All right, we have this division in the bag. Okay. Sorry about that. I was on hold for a while.
Yeah, no worries.
The Patriots are going to go on a surge right now, and they're going to beat every other team in the league. I just want to say that, first of all.
Okay, I mean, look, Alex, the way they've been going, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398, particularly the way they've been going, like, pace-wise on offense, has been ridiculous. The second half of that Bills game and this whole game, they were nonstop. You heard Nance and Sims talking about it constantly on the broadcast. We underscored the 35 first downs in this game as a Patriots franchise record, and I caught that in Mike Reese's notes on ESPNBoston.com. I'm sure that's from the Patriots, but that's where I caught it. Underscores the pace. They're running more plays, and that's how fast they're going to get 35 first downs in that game. So I think the pace that they're going at is encouraging offensively. It seems like they're really on to something. And remember, after the Arizona game, and even a little bit with the Baltimore game, we were sort of looking at it like, all right, when are they going to get this thing sorted out on offense? Like, we were second-guessing McDaniels a little bit. And when I say we, I was. But these last 2 weeks, I think he's gotten... I think the fan base is more comfortable with the play calling of Josh McDaniels after these last couple of weeks. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's where John dials us up from Los Angeles. What's going on, John?
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Good. It was a good, solid win. I felt like I enjoyed seeing Denard out there almost as much as I didn't enjoy seeing McCourty every time they completed a pass. Not that they should switch them at this point, but it's McCourty is just killing me.
You know, I mean, I tend to agree with it, John. You know, you looked at McCourty today, and I think the two plays I've honed in on was the pass interference in the end zone, which was brutal, and that fourth down play on Demaryius Thomas, where he couldn't cover him one-on-one. And I'll admit, that's a tough cover, but that's a big play right there, and he was torched.
Yeah, and you're a team captain. You're a former Pro Bowler. You're a first-round pick. And, yes, we know that he's not – he doesn't necessarily have to live up to that whole hype and how well he did his rookie season, but – you do have to turn around in the end zone when there's no more end zone. Like, there's no more room for the receiver to go. So you might as well turn around. It's not like you turn around and, oh, no, the receiver has gotten 5 or 10 more yards down the field. I get that. That's a place, that's like field awareness where you have to know, I got to turn around now. Ridiculous.
Yeah, and he just doesn't seem to have it. And, John, we appreciate the phone call. 508-298-0398. Just a couple of minutes left here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You know, what John was hinting on is something that I kind of touched on earlier when someone emailed in and said, look, you can criticize other people in the secondary besides McCourty. And I understand that, but how much are you going to get on Kyle Arrington? He's an undrafted guy. You know, how much are you going to get on Sterling Moore? He's a guy who bounced around. And, you know, we'll criticize them when they make poor plays, but, you know, McCourty, as John said, first-round pick, Pro Bowler, captain. You know, with those accolades, deserves, I don't know, a little bit more of our attention. And maybe when things go bad and he makes bad plays, as he did today, you know, more of our wrath, more of our critique. One more email here from Mike in Ottawa, writing into webradio at patriots.com. He writes in, Adam, why is Sterling Moore still playing? What am I not seeing that the coaches are? Is he a better run defender? Or what is it overall that gives him a place to be out there? How can Ross Idowling or Dennard be any worse than Sterling Moore? I'm telling you, I expect to see Dennard in sub-packages going forward. Now, maybe that won't last, but against Seattle, I expect it. Because Moore's been bad two of the last three games. He's bad against Baltimore. He's bad today. You know, what have you seen? I'd say that's more of an indictment on Ross Idowling, and Dennard's been hurt. So that's where it's been through the first month. I think that's about to change. He continues, I thought McCourty had an average game, had some bad plays, and I would tend to agree with you. However, I think people are making too much out of his bad plays. His plays came at bad times and gave up bad yards. I still think he did okay for most of the game. Whenever you don't see from him or hear from a DB, he is doing something right. I tend to agree with that. That's why I gave a lot of the defensive backfield. McCourty made two interceptions last week in the Buffalo game. But I also credited, you know, Arrington and Moore in the Buffalo game because I thought the safeties were the guys giving up the big plays. I thought, in general, the corners were all right. And he's right. McCourty has a knack for making bad plays at bad times. That fourth down today is another example of that, and obviously the Baltimore game. He concludes, the biggest thing, I think, personally, is the safety play. I thought Tavon Wilson has done well, being in the right place at the right time, as far as I can see, and being always around the ball. I thought Chung, for weeks, has looked very shaky, taking bad angles. I agree with you, Mike in Ottawa, writing into Web Radio at Patriots.com. Chung's been bad these last 2 weeks. Bad in the Buffalo game, took some questionable angles today. So, I agree. The safety play has been shaky out of the New England Patriots. That'll do it here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones in our Subway Fresh broadcast studios. We appreciate all the phone calls and emails, and we apologize that we couldn't get to all the emails here. Following the Patriots 31-21 win over the Denver Broncos, they move to 3-2. Next up for the Patriots, a trip to the 3-2 Seattle Seahawks at 4:05 next Sunday. I'll talk to you here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show, and we'll also talk to you prior to that game on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. That's next Sunday on Patriots.com.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Next Sunday, the Patriots head to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Kickoff at CenturyLink Field is set for 4 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social at 1:45 p.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.